إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we have been talking about the issue of taking stock of our lives and of assessing what we have been doing with our lives all these years that we have lived. Because, as I mentioned to you, what we keep getting reminded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again about is the fact that one day we have to go and meet Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. Now, therefore, what is important is to see what is it that we have prepared for that day. The Khalifa of Banu Umayya, Al-Walid bin Abdul Malik, went for Umrah, and when he was in Makkah, he asked if there was any of the Tabi'een there. So he was taken to one of the Tabi'een who was there at the time, and he asked him this question. He said, "Why are we afraid of death?" He said, "Why do I fear death?" And this Wali of Allah, he said to him, "You have built your palace in this world. You have built your whole empire and your palace and all your wealth and your treasures there in this world. But you have to go to a place which is barren, which is desolate, which is a ruin. So obviously, you will be afraid to go to that place. You will not want to go to that place." And he said, "If on the contrary, if you had built your palace in that place, then not only would you not be afraid to go there, but you would look forward to going there. You would want to go there." Now, that does not mean that where you live here in this world has to be a desolate ruin. The question is, in terms of priority, the question is in terms of allocation of resources, of time, where do we spend the most? I remind myself and you that this whole lip service that we give to so-called balancing, first of all, it is a lie, because if you just count the number of hours, it's basic arithmetic, it's not even beyond that. If you just count the number of hours, if you look at, generally speaking, in our society, an adult male who is employed in today's world will spend between 12 and 14 hours a day doing what he calls work. The days of 8-hour work days are long gone. Nobody works for 8 hours. If you work for 8 hours, you get sacked. You work for 12 hours, you work for 14 hours. And except, unless you are doing something which is purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His pleasure and so on, most of us, the work we do is pure dunya. I'm not saying it is haram, it is not haram. But at the same time, it's something which is purely of the world. There's no element of the of working for the akhirah in that period of time. Illa mashallah, except for those who work thoughtfully, who make sure that they're doing things which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they're staying away from that which is not pleasing to Him. Other than that, it's basically dunya. Then if you say, how much time do you spend in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Even if you are praying all the 5 fard salawat in the masjid, even if you are praying tahajjud, even if you are reading Quran every day for some period, even if you are fasting the 2 days per week and so on, count the number of hours. How much is that? And how many of us are doing all this in the first place? praying all five salat in the masjid and nafil fasting and all that. So where is the focus? And of course, we have justifications. We have all kinds of justifications. We say, oh, but you see, Allah did not prevent me from earning wealth, and Allah did not say, don't build a house. And that's true. Allah did not say, don't build a house. But Allah also said, the place for the house is in the Akhirah. So where is the priority? Where is the priority? Because one thing we know, we all know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this life is a journey. So look at it from the perspective of a journey. What do you do in a journey? You do two things. One is, you take for the journey things which are necessary for the destination. Right? I may be going from Hyderabad today at 44 degrees. But if I go to Johannesburg is now midwinter. So in Johannesburg, the temperature will be freezing or, you know, -2 or something. So if I go to Johannesburg, what kind of clothes will I take? These summer stuff which I am wearing? I'll freeze to death if I do that. Oh, but you see, I'm coming from Hyderabad. Hyderabad, what? Who cares what Hyderabad is? You are going to Johannesburg. And if you don't take seriously warm clothes, I mean, at those temperatures, it's not even talking about a jersey or something. You need to take, you know, big, thick jackets and stuff. If you don't take that, then you are in serious trouble. So even though somebody sees you in the airport, maybe they open your suitcase and you find it's all full of woolens and this and that, and the man says, you are crazy. Why are you carrying all this? It's so hot. The problem with a lot of jackets is they are so bulky that the only way of carrying the jacket is to wear it. And it's happened to me because I travel a lot. It's happened to me that I am in Hyderabad airport wearing a jacket or carrying a jacket, and you feel kind of foolish because so why is this man carrying this jacket in this heat? But you carry the jacket because you know that where I am going, this jacket is going to be useful for me. It's not for this. I don't need it. I'm taking it for where I'm going to land. So what is it that we are carrying with us for the place where we will land? As I keep reminding myself and you, we don't know when we will land, but we know that we will land there. So what is it that we are carrying for that place? I remind myself and you that we are coming into Ramadan al-Kareem. Let us focus on those things which are essential for us. For example, for the last, since yesterday, the emails I am getting and the WhatsApp messages, the questions I am getting, is it necessary for us to have a global moon sighting? Ramzan must start on the same day in the whole world. I mean, anyone with half a brain knows that when the world has got a 12-hour time difference, how can it start at the same time in the whole world? You want to do suhoor at 12 o'clock in the afternoon? I mean, what is the meaning of that? Start at the same time means what? But if you just think about the amount of time and energy and effort and, you know, mental activity and all that also results in conflicts and people have arguments and so on the sighting of the moon, when the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is perfectly clear, but not one question to say, Ramadan is coming, how can I maximize this benefit of this Ramadan for myself? Because this Ramadan may be my last Ramadan on this earth. Because one Ramadan will be the last, believe me. I mean, this that has to be, right? One Ramadan will be our last. And we don't know whether that is this Ramadan. We have people in our masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill their qubur with noor and forgive their sins and enter them into Jannatul Firdaus wal A'la bi ghairi hisab. We have our people from this masjid who were here last Ramadan. I can literally see them. I know the places where they used to sit for Taraweeh. They're not there today. Which means that last Ramadan, when they were praying Taraweeh here, that was their last Ramadan. That was their last Taraweeh in this life. Did they know that? So do I know whether this is my last Ramadan or not? So what must I do? Focus on whether the moon sighting in Australia is coinciding with the moon sighting in South Africa, with the moon sighting in the UK, and why is it that the people in America are starting the fast today, and why is it that we are fasting tomorrow? Should I spend my time and energy in this nonsense? Or should I worry about if this is my last Ramadan and that also starts tomorrow, I don't even know whether I will get that. May Allah give all of you Ramadan al-Kareem in good health and good iman and enable you to maximize its benefit. But nobody can say with guarantee, I'm sitting here and doing this Fajr reminder, will I see Zuhar today? I don't know. So what should I focus on? I think this is the most important thing, that if we can get our focus right, then everything else becomes clear. And that focus is what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. This is the beauty of Islam. Islam is a very beautiful religion because it is extremely simple. There's no complication in Islam. There's no complexity in Islam. There's no convoluted philosophies and, you know, all kinds of things which you need to go and get interpreted by this one and that one. Nothing. Simple one-point agenda. Does this please Allah? If you know, yes, it pleases Allah, do it. If you know, no, this does not please Allah, don't do it. If you are in a doubt, you have to do something, but you are doubtful, go ask somebody who knows. Go and ask, I need to do this. Please tell me, is this jaiz, not jaiz, halal, not halal, what? And then if they tell you, don't go fatwa shopping, go and ask someone who you trust, and if the person says, look, this is the dalil for this, and this is the reason why, yes, you can do it, or no, you can't do it, then go do it. Now, what's so complicated about that? But we want to leave the simplicity and go somewhere and spend all our energy and time and everything on this. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah owns, you heard the ayah in the salah today. Lillahi khazainus samawati wal ard. All the treasures of the heavens and the earth, they belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah did not say that, you know, they belong to me, but you know, I have put somebody else in charge, go ask him. Did Allah say this anywhere? Don't ask me, ask somebody else. Because that person has got the keys. It is my property, but I gave it to somebody else. Is this somewhere? But we spend our whole life running behind this one and that one and that one. Instead of spending time on developing a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you learn how to take from the khazain of the samawat and earth, how to take from the treasures of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they belong to me. Ud'uni astajib lakum. Ask me, I will give you. So ask. But then you have to have a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That ta'alluq with Allah has to be built. That is where the time and energy and focus and attention has to be spent. I remind myself and you, Alhamdulillah, may Allah give you all Ramadan in good health and so on. And we ask Allah for this. When we get this Ramadan al-Kareem, let us make sure that we don't, from this moment onwards, and not only restricted to Ramadan, but change our lives in such a way that we don't waste our lives in useless things. Spend the life in that which is meaningful and which has benefit, which is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you do that, you will find that automatically you will get the pleasure of the dunya and the pleasure of the people of the dunya as a result of that. The one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, the makhluk of Allah will also be pleased with that person. And the one who angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no makhluk of Allah who can be pleased with that person except shaitan. So if you are going on a path which you know perfectly well this path is wrong, and you find that you are popular with a certain bunch of people, then those certain bunch of people are people who are the people of shaitan. Because when you are going on a wrong path and somebody is pleased with that, who is that person? Is your enemy or friend? If he is your friend, he will not be pleased with that. He will stop you. He will try to you know, correct you in some way or the other. But if he is pleased with that, either he is completely grossly ignorant and he's got no brain, or that person is your actual enemy. He wants you to self-destruct, and that's why he is happy you're going on that path. So I remind myself and you, let us correct ourselves. Let us use this month of Ramadan to change our lives permanently, not only for this month, permanently, so that we get onto the track which leads to the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الرحيم.